Hello, and welcome to the Client Assessment Tools for Holistic Practitioners case studies bonus call. We already had one case study call, and we liked it so much that we're back for another one. I think that case studies are a wonderful way for you to cement a lot of the learning. It pulls things together in ways that, without having a real case in front of you, sometimes just the learning doesn't really sink in as well. So we're going to go through these cases. I've got, I believe it's six case studies, and we are going to do it in a very different way this time. I'm going to go through the first case, and I'm going to give you an idea of how to go through a case and how we would proceed step by step through it. We're not going to do an exhaustive treatise of each case because some of these cases have multiple labs, et cetera, et cetera, and it would take us forever. But here's what I'm proposing that we do. I'm going to go through the first case. I've created a little worksheet for you in terms of going through the cases and gathering information. Once we've gone through that first case, you've asked any questions you have about how to do it, we're going to break up into groups. And we're going to break up into groups. Hopefully, we'll have enough people to do all of the cases at the same time. If not, we'll do it in two iterations. And the way we're going to do it is break up into groups, and each group will take one of the cases. So there'll be five cases left. So if we have 10 people, there'll be two per group. If we have 15, there'll be three. If we have somewhere in between, we'll have somewhere in between. So if everybody shows up, there should be 40 of you on this call. But of course, not everybody shows up for every call because of time constraints. I know a couple of people will be coming on later because of time zone differences. So what we're going to do, I'm going to go through the first case, and then I'm going to break you up into groups. I'm going to give each group a case to work on. I'll tell you the case submission number. You've got all the details, and then I'm going to share with you a worksheet. I will load it up to the page so that you can download it, or I will give you the, actually, I'll do both, and I'll give you the link in the chat, and you can use that as your guideline as you're going through the case. And then when we break up into groups, we're going to have one person that's designated as the spokesperson or the leader of the group. And that doesn't have to be the person with the most experience, with the most expertise, but it needs to be somebody who would be really good at taking notes as you guys are discussing it and then feels comfortable sharing. Now, if it's just two per group and you guys want to alternate reporting back to the group afterwards, that's fine. But after you've gone through, you're going to report back your findings based on the sheet that I've given you and anything else that you've come up with, and then I'll review it. So I'll say, yep, we got to do this, and here's a few extra things, and or you perfect job, that's exactly how I would have done it. And everyone will get the advantage of hearing every case and the thought process going through it. But you'll have the concentrated, focused time to be able to work on one case. Okay? So the amount of time I give you to do that will depend on how many of you are on the call and how if we have to do this in two iterations or if we could do it in one. All right. As we go through this case, I'm going to review a lot of the things, the methodologies that we taught. A lot of the methodologies that are related to these cases came from Module 1, and we're going to sneak in a few things from Module 2, the physical stuff, but that would be more like these are some of the things you would check or ask them to check. And then, of course, the labs, because a lot of them have submitted some labs. So this case was submitted by Linda Gammel. And this case is a male, age 65, 6'1", 350 pounds. So what do we know already? He's got a problem with his weight. He's an equipment operator in a committed relationship, has two kids. So his top health concerns, irritable bowel and urinating at night many times. Okay, what are we thinking in a 65-year-old male? First off, and you could just write these things down as you go through. When I hear urinating at night many times, I'm thinking he may have a prostate issue. He may have benign prostatic hypertrophy, worst case, prostate cancer. But just kind of keeping that in the back of your mind. I'm not saying he has prostate cancer, but that's the stuff that you want to be, okay, I got to rule this out, or get him to a medical doctor to make sure they rule it out. And when you're looking at his labs, you want to look to make sure he's got PSA and some of the other markers, inflammatory markers. So irritable bowel, well, he's very overweight, and that can be causing problems with urination as well. Autoimmune thyroid and high blood pressure. So autoimmune thyroid is not something that people will always tell you they have. That's something that you will detect and tell them oftentimes on their lab. You'll see, TPO is elevated, antithyroglobulin is elevated. They may not know it. They may have had an autoimmune thyroid problem for the last 20 years and nobody tested for it. Happens all the time. I can't tell you the number of people that I have been on a group call and they're going through their labs with me and they find that they have this problem. And they go, well, no wonder I haven't been able to get my energy back in all these years. No wonder thyroid medication isn't really helping. No wonder all this other stuff isn't happening. So this person obviously knows, probably because Linda told him or he ran the test. Surgeries, et cetera, you're always asking that. Tonsils removed at age 4. That doesn't tell us a whole lot except for the fact that, wow, his immune system can be compromised. So he may have a tendency towards respiratory stuff because he's lost the lymphatic protection in his throat. Possible malaria when serving in Vietnam was exposed to Agent Orange. This is a huge piece. This is a piece that you're going to want to take notes about. This person has got stress on their detoxification systems and maybe their endocrine system as a result, because these things are endocrine inhibitors. In addition, malaria, well, depending on the malaria, malaria doesn't always or necessarily leave lasting problems, but it's how was it treated? If it was treated with quinine, if it was treated with strong drugs, and just as an aside, just so you know, studies have found over and over and over again that Artemisia annua, an herb, is more effective against malaria than is the quinine and the other drugs that they use to treat it. So just in case you know somebody is going into an area infested with that, they should pre-treat and during, while they're there, treat themselves with Artemisia annua. Injured his knee at age 8. This is not necessarily significant unless it's still bothering him, right? If he's had a bad injury, he walks with a limp, can't do sports, can't do heavy lifting, those are things you'd want to ask further. At age 55, got very sick with 105 fever for 3 weeks. Doctors didn't know what was wrong. So he's got some stress on his immune system. He's got some stress on his detoxification systems. So the next question is interventions to date, any treatments, etc. So this is obviously Linda's significant other, and when he's home, she keeps him off the food and drink that causes his issues and gives him many supplements, enzymes, superfoods, adaptogens, super herbs, omega-3 fats, probiotics, coconut kefir, green powders. And he takes them, Linda. That's awesome. A lot of people won't take that. I know, you know, my sister tried to get her husband to do that, and he died before he would take that stuff. So good for him that he's doing this. Got his blood pressure down to 125 over 86 from 180 over 128. Excellent. And it may go up again when he starts the fried foods and drinks. So when he's home, so if he's out a significant amount of the time and he's going to restaurants or eating with friends or traveling, he may not be keeping to this regime. And Linda indicates that he probably isn't. And that's going to be continuing to cause his problem. So the irritable bowel continues to be, he eats out almost every day, but he's stopped drinking and eating fried and sugary foods. Okay. And the current care is she takes care of his health as much as she lets him. This is going to be a typical problem when you're dealing with someone who is coming in because their spouse, their partner, their mother, their daughter, etc., has gotten them engaged in this. It's not their idea to come in. So they're not necessarily completely on board. There's also a misconception that doing good things sometimes is enough. And for some people with minor health problems or no health problems, just doing it as a prevention, it may be. In people who have amazing genetics, you know, all their pathways are intact. There's no methylation problems, no problems with detox pathways. They may be able to get away with eating fried foods and drinking sometimes. But for the majority of people who have issues and symptoms like this guy, Tony, he's got a lot of issues going on. For him, at least initially in the early stages of a treatment protocol, it's really important to be talking to him about how important it is to toe the line all the time. And giving him a short period of time, like, okay, Tony, let's do green cleanse for a week. Will you do that with me? It's happening next week, right? Do that with me. It's just a short period of time. You get him to be perfect. You make him stuff that he takes out to his appointments wherever he is, so he doesn't have to eat out. You teach him that during this week, when you go to a restaurant, you're just going to order steamed vegetables or a salad, right? So it's really engaging them in a short term just so they can see what happens. But if you don't get somebody to follow through consistently and they're eating out every day, your changes are going to make really help. Obviously, he's doing something right if she got his blood pressure down to 125 over 86. But there's more because he still has the irritable bowel. And gluten may be a huge problem, usually is with people with irritable bowel. And if you can even get him to consent to gluten-free for a month or two, see what happens. But again, we're dealing with, this is a partner. This is a relative or a partner, somebody close. They don't always take advice from the person closest to them. So one thing I could tell you is one of the things I did with my significant other of the last 32 years is I don't do his nutrition stuff anymore. I have a colleague of mine, a friend of mine, do it. And in fact, she and I had a conversation the other day when we were looking at his genetics. So she's not as up on that as I am. So she and I'll have powwows and I'll say, this is what I think he should be doing. And she relates it to him. And he does it much more religiously than if I have him do it. So that's a thought just for you guys who are dealing with relatives who don't want to listen to you because you're not the expert. And you've got this group, you've got this community. You can reach out to each other if that's the case. You know, say Michaeline says, I'm having trouble with my significant other. And Linda says, hey, switch. See if you can say, well, here I have somebody who's willing to help you with this problem other than me. And see if they're game for it. They may be. So here's the heart of this problem. When it's really important to ask in whatever way you ask, what current habits do you think significantly influences health? Well, here we're getting it from Linda's perspective. But it's really interesting to hear it from their perspective as well. And it also is good to hear it from somebody else's. He lets everything upset him. So what does that say? Nothing seems to make him happy. He watches the news and violent movies. Those are three things right there that are addressing his adrenals, the state of his cortisol levels. We know that if your cortisol levels are chronically elevated due to stress, that your gut is not going to function right. Irritable bowel is very common with that. So working on his stress, that's the thing I had the most results with having him work with my friend who happens to be a meditation teacher as well as a nutritionist. So it, that's a thing. But really, that's the hardest part, especially for men. It's like, what's wrong with watching the news? What's wrong with all the violence? You know, I'm up here and he's watching the TV and I'm hearing it and it's like, shoot, shoot, bang, bang. It's a stressful situation. We may or may not be able to get that. It's just kind of talking to them and introducing some of the heart math techniques. But running an adrenal stress panel for him, just so he can see it in black and white. And you can explain to him, like, look what's happening here. This is really high. But this is starting to go low. So you're wearing out your adrenals. And after a while, you're not even going to have the energy to do what you really love to do. Because your adrenals are going to be sunk. And here's some of the things we can do to help that. Poor food choices, eats late in the evening. Again, that affects the whole rhythm of the cortisol and the growth hormone and all. So he's not going to be able to lose weight if he's eating late at night. He's throwing off his leptin. He's throwing off his growth hormone. He's causing insulin surges. He skips meals, you know, same thing. And then he ends up eating much later and doesn't drink enough water. Okay. So right away, we've got a list of some things that Tony needs to do. You know, and that you need to be working on with him in order to get everything else in balance. We need to start with the diet lifestyle pieces. We absolutely need to start there. And if someone is not doing the diet lifestyle pieces, no matter how many supplements and herbs you throw at it, no matter how many tests you do, you're not going to get the same results. They've got to change what they eat. People need to be eating real food. And there's a lot of things that we're all eating that, well, I'm not, but most people are, that are not real food, you know? And even if they're whole grain crackers or breads. It's not really food as nature intended it, and they're processed to the point where they hurt. So it's a matter of determining what are the biggest bullets in their life. You know, apparently Linda got him to agree to go off of the sugary and fried foods most of the time. So that's big. It's looking at his fatty acid balances as a result of all those fried foods and making sure he's on omega-3s, which she probably has him on if we look back. I think she put that somewhere. Oh, yeah. Enzymes, superfoods, adaptogens, omega-3s. So she's like doing the shotgun approach, which is actually not a bad idea, to taking his regime and saying he's doing this wrong, this wrong, this wrong, this wrong. While I'm working with him on making these habit changes, I'm going to try to fill in the gaps. And that's a good approach. But you can't do that at the expense of not changing the diet and lifestyle habits. And in some cases, especially with irritable bowel, he needs a gluten-free 30 days minimal just to see what happens there. Dairy-free, gluten-free, sugar-free. Main irritants to the bowel, right? And then continue the probiotics, the enzymes, everything else, the kefir, all good stuff. So here are his stresses, his adult kids. And again, these are things that, you know, It needs to be addressed, and it's not really an easy thing to address. It's having people learn not to take all that stress internally. Right? No matter how stressed or upset he gets about his adult kids, they are adults. They are responsible for themselves. So finding some sort of stress management thing that he will do, and I think the heart math is amazing because you can do it in 30-second increments. Okay? 30-second increments. It may be a good idea. If you have an iPhone or he has an iPhone, there's something called GPS for the soul. And you can set it so that it sets a reminder and it beeps on your phone. It says check in. And it uses the camera sensor. You put your finger over there. It measures your heart rate and your heart rate variability, and it does a graph, and you can watch the graph for like, I think it's 2 minutes, 3 minutes. I think it's 2 minutes. And as you watch the graph, you focus on your breathing. And it just reminds you, it's free. It's free. HeartMath has an app for the phone as well, but you have to pay $100 to get the sensor, and it's a separate sensor. This is like, it may not be as elaborate as the HeartMath thing, but boy, for me, you know, periodically I just check in. I go, okay, how am I doing? So-and-so just got me really angry. Usually either one of the kids or the husband, right? It's usually the people closest to us. Why they do that? You know, I let myself get really, really angry this morning because my iPhone charger was missing. And I had asked my husband, he said, where should I put this? I said, oh, just put it over there. It wasn't there. And it was when I got back from my trip, and it was in my suitcase. And so I call him up. I said, where did you put it? I let Kevin take it. He's my 15-year-old. And he left it at the hotel room where they're at a baseball tournament. So now I have to buy you a new one. Well, first of all, it's my iPhone charger. How did you let him take it? How did you think I was going to charge my phone? So anyway, I allowed myself to get crazy after that. So I said, okay, let me just go back and calm myself down. So it gives you an out. Yeah, you're not going to be perfect, and we're all going to get things that trigger us, but stopping and interrupting it. So Tony needs to hear this stuff. EMF exposure, what's that about, Linda? I'm going to open up your line. Where is he exposed to the chemicals? I guess that the actual emotional, physical, the emotional stress he's under and the dietary. And then the construction chemicals, is that an ongoing basis in his job? Or is it pest? So now a detox would be great to help him to cleanse that stuff. You know, working on his liver, working on supporting that. See if he'll do the green cleanse with you. Will he do the green cleanse with you? Okay. Even if he just does this light version of it for 7 days, it can make a huge difference in lightening up the load. Milk thistle, large amounts of milk thistle will help. We'll look at his labs in a bit to see if he's got the elevated. Yeah, he does, right? His alkaline phosphatase is low. His ferritin, that's really high. Yeah, I would suggest some milk thistle. I would do really high doses, like, 30 to 60 drops three times a day, four times a day. Or if you don't do the standardized, like if you do something like the Gaia, which has the professional solution, Gaia Professional Solutions has it, the extract. You don't want to do a glycerin-based. And I know it's this whole thing with somebody's alcoholic, you don't want to give them alcohol. But alcohols which need to extract the milk thistle, the silymarins, most effectively. So the best thing, well, it makes sure it's a standardized extract, not just the milk thistle whole. Milk thistle, whole milk thistle, ground up seeds, is great protection, not for people who already are compromised. You want to go stronger than that. So if it's capsules, it's standardized extract, I would probably do whatever double the dose they say on the bottle, because they're usually pretty. Or whatever the standard dose is on the capsules, three or four times a day, a little bit higher than that. So here's what he's got in terms of lab findings. He does have significant TPO. Now, we don't see autoimmune thyroid as often in males as in females. So something's triggering this. Anybody that has antibodies, we have to get inflammation down. It's critical that we get inflammation down. So you don't have, CRP is high. He's got inflammation. He has got CRP high. His hemoglobin A1C, which is second to the bottom in this box of lab findings, that's high. It's not ragingly high, but it's saying that his average blood glucose is around 120 with a 5.8. It's just over the you've moved from normal to insulin resistance. In my book, in functional medicine approach, is more you want it to be around five hemoglobin A1C, and that says an average blood glucose of around 95. Okay, so his sugar is an issue. Sugar is definitely an issue. So the Before Be Gone type principles, the low glycemic, the meal spacing, and I'll tell you later in this thing how you can get access to the insulin resistance practitioner training so you can guide people through that. MCV is high. It's 100. MCV means either as a folate or a B12 deficiency or both, most likely. Okay, so that's... So it may be not absorbing them. It may be the wrong form. And it may not be, if you're giving them separate B12 or just in a multi. Yeah, tablets are not a good way. Yeah, so you don't want to do B12. Most people, especially since he's got an autoimmune problem already, he probably doesn't make enough intrinsic factor. He may even have antibodies to his intrinsic factor, which could be tested, but we don't do that often. He's obviously not getting enough. So I would suggest two separate things, and I would do them together. And because we don't have his genetics would be good. It's helpful. But I would probably get methyl folate. It's MTHF, methyl tetrahydrofolate. And they have that at... it's methyl tetrahydrofolate, whoever has it. I know that there's... holistickheal.com has a liquid folate in drops. And then Thorne has it in capsules. Get the 1 milligram one. They have a 5 milligram, and that's after you determine that somebody needs a lot, and then you can just go there. But start with 1 milligram. Or you can get Folipro if there's suspicion of impaired methylation pathways. You probably want to start really low with that. And then the methyl B12. And again, the whole methylation pathways fall into that. Sometimes hydroxy B12 works better if they have methylation problems. So I would put on your list, go to 23andMe and get them that the methylation test. 23andMe, were you on the nutrigenomics call? Go back and listen to that. There's a recording. And 23andMe.com for $99 will do his complete genetics, and then I give you instructions in the nutrigenomics module on how to take the raw data from there and put it in and see what his methylation pathways are. If his MCV was 85, I would say he's doing fine. You're doing okay with that, but he's not. He's way high. He's even into out of the functional range. I think the labs say 99 or above. But functionally, I like to see it 89, you know, 80 to 89. They don't have B12. I think their products are great, the liquid Bs, but they don't have the B12, and there's not enough B12 in that one. If somebody's got either methylation problems and they've got a low B12, which it seems like he does. Yeah, you don't have to do that one. You can give him a capsule, but he's got to get some extras. There's sublingual at holistichealed.com has really good mega B12 drops. They have hydroxy and they have methyl. And if you're going to order from them and pay the shipping, you might as well get one of each. And just start him with the hydroxy, see how he does. I had somebody, I just switched from methyl to hydroxy, and she was way better. And then we got her genetics back, and we realized why. Thorn would be fine. Or Holistic Heal may have, Holistic Heal, I think, has a liquid folic acid drops. He's got to get off gluten with the antibodies here and the irritable bowel. He's got to get off gluten. You can tell him, you can explain to him what it's about. You can tell him he's at high risk for cardiovascular with the CRP up, high risk for cancer with the CRP up, and the A1C. And that's all you can do, right? We can't make our clients do it, especially our loved ones. All right? Exercise, he never exercises, right? So he's got all these habits that are going against him. You know, it's funny because a lot of these cases are easy to fix if they'll just do what you tell them to do. Now, there are cases who aren't, who are like doing all this stuff and going, you know, they're not getting better. Then that's where we dig deeper. But I have a feeling that, you know, he's going to respond if you can get him off this stuff.
Right.
He's really responsive. So it's, you know, you can give him what you give him and then you're learning a lot. And you can apply this to other people that you're working with that are asking for your help. So he doesn't drink tap water. That's good. You're giving him purified. He probably drinks tap water when he's out at a restaurant. There's some dedication. So he's making strides. Pick your poisons. Pick one thing. Don't ask him to do five things at once. Pick what you think would be the next thing, which I think should be gluten. And get him some of that Carbo G from Transformation. So that if he goes out, he orders gluten-free, but in case he gets cross-contaminated, he takes that as his enzyme with those out meals. He doesn't have to take that as the enzyme when you're feeding him because you know there's no gluten. But if he's in a restaurant and eating, instead of his regular digestive enzyme, he should take the Carbo-G from Transformation. Because if there does happen to be a cross-contamination, you know, an accidental exposure to gluten product, go for that one. Sure. Something equivalent. I think they do. Because you're not going to stop him from eating out, it doesn't sound like. So you just teach him how to eat out and protect himself. Okay? And let's take a quick look at your question is, thanks, could the high iron be from drinking too much and causing liver damage and not be from hemochromatosis? It's possible. Let me look at the numbers exactly. His glucose, right? 103. So it matches up with the hemoglobin A1C is marginally high. He's in insulin resistance. So the outer range, right? 75 to 89 is what we're looking for. He's at 103. That means he's going into the insulin resistance phase. His uric acid is high. Liver stress. Bun is high. Kidney stress or too much protein. Creatinine is normal. GFR is normal. Bun creatinine ratio is normal. It's okay. Potassium's fine. Chloride is fine. Carbon dioxide is barely, it's just in there. Calcium is a little bit low. So his calcium's a little bit low. It's within the normal range, but outside the optimal range. It could be an absorption problem. It could be a vitamin D problem. So let's take a look down further. Phosphorus is 3.3. A phosphorus is a little bit low. When phosphorus is a little bit low, what are we looking at? A vitamin D deficiency, right? So look over here. Vitamin D deficiency. Well, let's look at what his vitamin D comes out to be. Just because you give somebody something, it doesn't mean that they're going to show up sufficient in it. Either you're not giving them enough, their absorption is impaired, or in the case of vitamin D, there's a really common genetic SNP that is for the vitamin D receptors, and those people need more, right? So albumin's okay, as globulin's okay, AG ratio. Six drops is 12,000, almost 13,000. Yeah, okay. Okay, well, he's got to do it. He's got signs that he's low. With vitamin D, especially too, if you're giving them fairly large amounts, you don't want to put them into excess either. So it's really super important to test vitamin D, especially with autoimmune, because you're not going to be able to turn those antibodies off. You're not going to be able to help his gut unless his vitamin D levels are up. Okay, so that's a critical follow-up, vitamin D. Okay? His serum iron is okay. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, it affects the membranes, the permeability, the barriers, the immune barriers. It also affects his immune system. If you go back into the immune system module, we talked about how vitamin D affects the antibodies, the production, the cytokines, the T cells. It's really critical for immune function, and it's really critical for anyone with any kind of autoimmune disease, suspected or confirmed. You know, we're talking lupus, thyroid problems, even B12 deficiency. He may have an intrinsic factor antibody problem. With insulin resistance or diabetes, we could have antibodies to insulin. So there's all sorts of things. It's really critical. Vitamin D is critical. Okay? It's $50 to test it at Direct Labs. Or if he has a doctor, he can ask to get it. He might get it for free. His numbers, his triglycerides are high, right? And his HDL is low. So his triglyceride to HDL ratio is almost 4, which puts him at high risk of what? Insulin resistance. Right? So that's an important number to look at. I've got to get that put on the chart. We have to code that in. Ideally, 1-to-1, but between 1-to-1 and 2-to-1. No more than 2-to-1. Anything over 2-to-1 is at risk. He's even out of range for the lab, right? 35-to-160, he's at 179. Sugars, starches. So maybe that we'll see that come down if he responds real well. His TSH is a little bit high, 3.06. His T4 is on the low end of the ideal range, still there. His T3 uptake's okay. Free T4 is 1.12. Free T3 is low. Okay? So he's got an issue with converting from T4 to T3. Probably if you did reverse T3. There we go. 162. Now with reverse T3, you can't just go by the ranges. You've got to go by the ratio. 162. Free T3 is 2.7. Let's just say that's 1. Michaeline, help me with the math. You figured out the math. There was a conversion factor. These are not measured on. Well, it says they are. You know what? I have to look at your lab to see what range. See how it's peak? It says picograms per ml. Picograms per ml. It looks like it's in the right range, but it's supposed to be 20-to-1 free T. Oh, wait, let's see if we do this, it's 270. Yeah, no, it's not right. So I think I need to update the chart. Free T3 is often measured in a different unit so that it looks like the number's in the hundreds. So if we multiply this by 100, we get 270. Then we can compare that to the reverse T3. So 270-to-162, that's a not even a 2-to-1 ratio. And it should be a 20-to-1 ratio. So he's basically converting too much of his T4 into free T3. I mean reverse T3, not free T3. All right? Selenium's important. Stress, cytokines caused by excess cortisol will cause that increase. Low levels of iodine as well. Selenium and iodine, important here. And lowering the stress. Getting those antibody levels down. Do an iodine load test on him to see if he's getting enough. And it could be the stress that's causing it, right? The excess cortisol. But he's converting too much into free T, reverse T3 rather than free. Okay, so Michaeline just calculated it. It's 16.7. Is the ratio that he's got, and it's too low. It's not as bad as I thought. Okay? Thank you. If you can, the convert, I've got to get that on the chart. We should put that in there so that we can automatically calculate it on the chart. Okay, what else does he have? His white blood cells are okay. They're in the low end of the optimal range, but they're still in there. You tend to have lower levels of white blood cells with autoimmune. You just tend to have that because the immune system's constantly working. It gets tired out. In more advanced stages, it gets abnormally low. And then you're at risk for infection. So it's kind of ironic. You have this overactive immune system that puts you at a higher risk for infection because it's so overactive that it wears itself down. His red blood cells are fine. His hematocrit is fine. There we go. His MCV is too high, so I would be suspicious of the B12 and folate, and we just talked about that. RDW is high, which just says there's some sort of anemia. It's very nonspecific. Platelets are fine. Neutrophil ratio with elimps, or it's a little bit off. He's a little bit high on the neutrophils, a little bit low on the elimps. There might be some sort of bacterial infection somewhere. Maybe that's responsible for the leaky gut. He may have a H. pylori, and that could be responsible for the leaky gut. So if he's open to doing some more testing on that, there's BioHealth is one of the labs that does they're really sensitive test, stool test for it. Some of the other labs miss it a lot. I've switched to them whenever I suspect H. pylori. Right, but that can actually make an H. pylori worse. Yeah, you got to get rid of the H. pylori. No, HCL is a great thing to give if he needs it. But if he's got an H. pylori infection, it could actually make it worse because it bores itself down in to the cells and it can contribute to leaky gut. So if you want to just, you know, not bother testing it, but treat it, get some mastic gum. It's a good source. And there's something else called Matula tea, a little bit expensive, but it definitely does the trick. And I've done it and I've had people reverse their H. pylori with that. Matula, M-A-T-U-L-A. All right. Well, maybe it's on the mend. I don't know that he has it, but maybe if you can increase that and see on the next test if it shows up. This is speculative. Right? But these are the kind of things I want you guys to learn how to look for, right? He's got a slightly high neutrophil lymphocyte, suggests maybe there's a chronic low-grade bacterial thing going on. And that in combination with the gut stuff says to me, well, we should really rule out H. pylori. Yeah, he may have some gum stuff. And given that, I would say, does he have mercury in his mouth? Yeah, so that may be causing the neutrophils to be high. It may not be, but I think it's worth looking into to see about the H. pylori. It's just something to keep in your back pocket because he's got the gut stuff. And of course, and maybe if you get him off of the gluten and you get him, you know, get him more compliant dietarily and it still doesn't clear up the leaky gut and you get the vitamin D levels where they need to be, then maybe then you look at the H. pylori if you're trying to hold out. I mean, that would be the sequence that I would look at. But definitely don't rule. You have to rule out H. pylori. CRP, we said, is already, that's very high. His homocysteine is on the high end of the normal scale, but it's not too bad. I like to see homocysteine, like, you know, closer to the 4 or 5 range, 6 maybe. You can go to A1C. We talked about his fasting insulin. Look at that, 19.5. That's fasting insulin. Look at the range. The ideal range is 2 to 5. Postprandial 19.5 if he's just eating a big bowl of blueberries and, you know, had some crackers or something. But 19.5 fasting. So this whole insulin resistance thing is huge. It needs to be addressed. Yeah, big time. Iron saturation, ferritin. This is the other piece, is 373. Now, Michaeline's been working on... Michaeline's been working on getting her own ferritin down, and she was working with lactoferrin, And maybe you guys can have a conversation offline about that, how effective that's been. But lactoferrin can help take that down. And it's definitely problems with the liver because she had it as a result of some medical interventions. So it's not high enough to be called overt hemochromatosis, but because the other numbers aren't so bad. Usually people with overt hemochromatosis, like I was saying, my brother, his ferritins are in the 800s. And his irons are in the 200-300s. And that's when they say, well, we're getting it to a good place when he gets his iron down to 200. So that's with overt hemochromatosis. But it could really be that whole liver. And if you get his liver working and get him really clean, that could come down. But the lactoferrin is what, and inflammation, that's what Michaeline is mentioning too, and we've already talked about the importance of decreasing his inflammation. So if you've got him, you know, off, of course, all the stuff we've talked about, but things like proteolytic enzymes in between meals, I don't know if you do that, systemic enzymes can help with inflammation. Ginger, turmeric, those are really, really good anti-inflammatories, bromelain, things like that. Yeah. Do you have a blood glucose meter, Linda? Get him to test his blood glucose. Okay. Well, then put him on the B4 Be Gone menu plan. You have that now in if you go into the energy recharge evaluation module. Well, on the side, no, actually, and just log in, and you should now see the B4 Be Gone menu plan. If you can get him to follow that for 30 days, it's not a hardship. Follow those guidelines for 30 days. So much of this is going to clear up. Yeah, but you know, if they do have it, it's such a tiny little bit. And look at, there's a lot of, just look around. I would look at the transformation ones, pure bromelain, pure papain, Omnizyme Fort, Michaeline just wrote in. Omnizyme Fort, it's in the sidebar, the chat thing. Are you there? Omnizyme Fort, Forte, F-O-R-T-E. You can get it at holisticalternatives.net. Yeah, go ahead and just click on that. You did get an adrenal test. Okay, good. Let me see. 8.4 low in the morning, right? So he's got low. They would report back if there wasn't. They'll say insufficient volume. Yeah, they won't run it. Yeah. So he's low. He's low cortisol. His midday is 4.5. That's low. His 4 to 5 p.m. is 3.4. It's low. The only one that's not low is his midnight. Does he have any trouble sleeping, or does he sleep okay? Yeah. His melatonin is off because he's watching TV up until bedtime. It's going to throw his melatonin way off. If you were to test his melatonin, you'd probably find that it's off. His cortisol is fine that time of day, but it's high compared to the rest. Like it's in the range, whereas everything else is low. And his DHEA is low. He is in, if you recall back to the adrenal module, what stage of adrenal stress is he? He's in stage 3. Yeah. Yeah. He's been hypercortisol for so long that he's depleted. And this is affecting everything. It's affecting all his hormones. It's affecting. And it's just going to keep getting worse because he's mounting this need for a high cortisol response. He's hyper irritable, so it's like tired and wired. So yeah, you know, right from the beginning, we said what he needs. It's addressing the stress. And so you can put out there what he does, and you can walk away. That's it. When we're working with clients, there's an exchange. They come to see us. They pay us a fee. We give them advice. If they don't take the advice, that's their loss. But we're in exchange, right? Because they paid us. We gave them the best advice we could. When you're working with loved ones and they're not paying you, it gets really old after a while. I mean, I just said to my husband, I fire you. I'm not working with you anymore. I spend my time with you. I give you all this advice and then you don't follow it. We're out of exchange. You didn't pay me money. I mean, it wouldn't make sense for him to pay me money to do it because we all have the same pool of money, right? You didn't just go do my laundry and wash my car and do all this wonderful stuff for me in exchange for what I just gave you. If you had, then it's like, okay, whatever you do with the information is your choice. But if I'm giving and he's not doing it, I start to feel resentful. Oh, wait, I'm not wasting my time with you anymore. So you need to let go because it's creating stress in you. And we all need to hear this because we all do this with people we love. You know, I watched a lot of those die because they wouldn't listen to me. Okay? And you have to let go and not let it stress you. And as sad as it is, my mom, my dad, my sister, my brother-in-law, a couple of friends, as sad as it is that they're gone, I have let go of living in the what if. What could I have done better? I did the best I could. It was up to them. Some will, some won't. So what? Move on. Okay? You do the best. Don't let it hurt you. Okay? Okay. All right. Yeah. So I've gone through this case with you, giving you an idea of how my thought process is going through a case. Now it's your turn, guys. Every time he starts screaming and gets upset, I miss that because it flows off the bottom of the chart. You guys can't see it. Let me see if I can move it up. His SIGA is less than 20, very low. Okay. His DHEA is 3.1, low, very low. And so the SIGA goes down when the cortisol has been chronically elevated. You see? So it's that's going to affect everything. It's going to affect his leaky gut. He's got to get the levels of the cortisol spikes that he's doing down. He's got to rebuild. Things like amla are really good for building it up. Triphala, however you say that, the Ayurvedic combination of amla and two of things that I can never say. But that's really good for helping to build that back up. Certainly things that just support the immune system, vitamin C, which amla has a lot of. But the main thing is bring it down. I've seen these go up. I've seen these go up inside of 6 months. Well, thank you for submitting it. Thank him for being willing. I don't know if he knows you did. I hope he does. Because now a lot of people have his case. But, yeah. And again, if you ever submit cases and you want to remain anonymous, you're going to have to ding. Oh, Michaeline points out, yes, vitamin C is contraindicated with high ferritin levels. I forgot about that. I forgot about the ferritin there. So, yeah, so don't do vitamin C until he's... But she also said, do you think it's any possibility of PTSD from Vietnam influencing the hyperactivity regarding stress, like him being hypervigilant? That's very possible. So he needs to be calmed down. He needs to learn heart math or something else like that. He probably could use a good sleep vacation. He needs support to the adrenals. Go back to the adrenal. I gave you some good stuff on how to support the adrenals. Don't do the vitamin C. Yeah, until you get the ferritin down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the lactoferrin is a good thing. And, you know, Michaeline may have some other things. It looks like this. It's going to be case review guidelines. I'll go through this with you.